Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. With me today, Kelly Goumont. How's it going, Kelly?
Pretty good, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Going good. I'm in the holiday mood. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, John.
I've missed hearing that. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. They have the really awesome video, audio, and image stock services, and I'll talk about them soon. But this is also the day before Thanksgiving in the United States. So first, that means we won't be around on Thursday or Friday, so no shows, but we'll be back on Monday. But it also means that because we're all the people that our family members turn to when something goes wrong with the technology that they have, we figured today would be a good day to get some pointers out there so that all of us are better prepared for the questions that come up tomorrow. And Kelly, I'm betting you may have an idea, just a hunch.
I have several, and some of them are occasionally I like to play a bit longer game when it comes to tech support. So for example, if what I'm doing is support for my immediate family, for my parents or for my in-laws, someone like that, what I find to be super handy is I have a repository in my password manager. I have secure notes, and I have a secure note with a link to a spec page, a complete spec page for everyone's computer or phone. And on that, within that note, I've also like entered their serial number or, you know, any other sort of information I need to know. Like I have some family members on Verizon and I have some family members on AT&T. And sometimes just knowing that stuff is really helpful. But also, this gives me a chance, because I'm tech support, this gives me a chance to sort of investigate their current hardware situation, which also makes it a good way to mine for Christmas ideas. You know, helping somebody troubleshoot their mouse every time you go home for Thanksgiving tells you maybe you just need to buy that person a new mouse, for example.
That's a clever idea.
So you can also take a look at the current state of charging, for example, because the thing that I think makes a great gift, like my definition of a great gift, is something that you want, but you don't want to buy yourself. Like, you know, I have a way to plug in my phone and charge it every night on my nightstand, or, you know, while I'm sitting at my desk. And so like, I don't need to go buy something else, but if somebody for Christmas or for my birthday or whatever, wanted to give me like a nice dock that would live on my nightstand or live on my desk, then that would be great, because it's a nice upgrade to something that I already have. It would be a really good way. So that's another thing that I do, is I use that sometimes for inspiration. Like if somebody just has, you know, a cord and it almost reaches to where they really want to put their phone, like maybe spring for a longer cord and a dock or a stand of some sort that makes it a little easier to read your phone. And that's the kind of stuff that I like to do as smaller gifts, because we don't do a whole lot of huge gifts in my family because everybody can just go buy whatever it is they want anyway. So when you can find something thoughtful like that, like I know this person is going to be able to use this every night. Like they go to bed, put the phone in the nice dock. Qi chargers are a good one this year because lots of people are getting new phones, whether it's an 8 or a 10. You can use the little magnetic chargy pad now. And so maybe helping somebody populate their house with one or two of those is a great way to
Quick question. Will those inductive chargers work through most of polycarbonate cases? I assume they will.
Lots and lots of cases, yes. I've even seen where people have reported that they work through some of the thinner wooden cases. So people who like the bamboo or the bamboo sticker on the back. The cases I've seen so far, the chargers will work with those as well.
Cool.
So, John, what I have found with induction charger systems is that the more you put between the device and the charger plate, the less efficient it becomes, because you're just farther away from that coil.
Right.
And
it's distant, not...
Yeah, so it's really the
electrical properties. Yeah.
Yeah. And as an example, right now, I have my iPhone X sitting on a Qi-compatible charger on my desk, and it is in a case, And it's one of those things where I hadn't really even thought about it. I just put it on the charger and it works.
I've seen your case. It's pretty thin. It's a good case, but it's not that thick.
Yeah, this one isn't very thick. And I have some more cases on the way right now to test. And my expectation is that depending on the thickness of the case, it will have an impact on how quickly it charges the phone.
It's interesting. I doubt whether the case manufacturers make any affirmations about that in their literature.
No.
Yeah, we have a really good case here. It's nice and thick. And, oh, by the way, your inductive charging is going to be 50%. So be aware. I doubt it.
Yeah, they're not going to say stuff like that.
No.
No, they're not. But so one of the things that I like to do is use all of that. And I also sort of like to question people, because I will get some, like, consultation. You know, I'm looking to get a new computer, or particularly at Thanksgiving, you may get questions from members of your family who want to buy their spouse a this or a that for Christmas. And, you know, is that going to be a good gift? And being able to sort of sit down and help work through some of that stuff, you kind of have to work backwards with it. You know, instead of starting out with like, well, do you want an iPad or do you want a MacBook? Like, start out with, you know, what are you going to do with it? Like, every day, like, what are the things that need to be on it that need to happen? You know, and if it turns out like it's Facebook and email, there you go. Mm-hmm.
The most frequent question I get about the Apple Watch is, can I give my spouse an Apple Watch for Christmas? And I go, well, they have to have an iPhone 5 or later. Is it 5S? 5 or 5S or later? And then they go, oh.
Yeah, and those are other things you kind of want to find out about is, you know, when you look at some of these things and people are asking these questions. Another thing I like to do is have a few, like, one thing I always do, because I pick them up in the iBookstore because they're free, is the manuals I know they will need, because Apple does publish user guides for things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can load those up on your phone or on your iPad and pull them up, you know, even if the Wi-Fi sucks at your folks' house or whatever. So you can always bring those manuals up, and then you have like whatever Apple says is the official way to do the thing that somebody's asking you about. So there's lots of other ways to find those, but I find that sometimes the user manual is really helpful. Plus, you can also show it to somebody and go like, you can go get this on the iBookstore. It's free, and maybe assist them with doing that. And then, you know, teach them to fish, as they say.
I like that idea. All right. I'm interrupting us because we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And if you're not familiar with VideoBlocks, that's okay. I'm about to educate you. What they do is provide royalty-free stock video footage. And then they also have audio clip and image stock services as well. So they have over 150,000 videos in their library, and that's growing all the time. And they have over 100,000 audio clips and photos. So many photos to choose from, and it's easy to hunt for and find the sort of content you're looking for. I've found it's been very easy to go and find the stock content that I want to use in graphics that I make for articles on Mac Observer, and it's just been so slick and so easy, and it's surprisingly inexpensive. So each of the services, the stock services, either video, audio, or image, costs $149 for a year, and you get unlimited downloads. So it's as much content as you need to do what you need to do for personal or commercial use. $149 a year, and you are good to go. But it gets better, because Daily Observations listeners are getting a special deal. If you go to videoblocks.com/TDO, you can get their triple bundle. And this is a special deal that they're offering for us, which is really cool. So the triple bundle is the video stock service, the audio stock service, and the image stock service, all for $149. And so that means you get all three for the price of one. And that's good for a whole year. So all the content that you can manage to download for the projects that you need – $149 for the year. And you get to keep the content even if at some point you decide you don't need the services anymore, which I can't imagine why you wouldn't, because they have such great stuff. But don't procrastinate, because the deal is good only in November and December. So you have to do this before the end of the year. So what I think you should do, as soon as the show is over, you need to head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, to get all the stock video, audio, and images you can imagine for just $149. That's videoblocks, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. And that triple bundle, only $149. What a great deal. All right. Thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor today.
Okay. Hey, Jeff.
Yes, John.
Before we move on, I have one more contribution on the family assistance.
Okay.
Adam Engst recently wrote about an app called Watchman Monitoring.
Oh.
It sits in the background reports to you about what's happening. And he writes about how the first hint something was wrong was that Watchman Monitoring sent him an email saying that his aunt's Mac had started downloading the High Sierra installer, and he knew she didn't want to do that. So that's another tool to help keep track of your family's operations.
It will also tell you lots of other things, which are pretty great. For example, it can tell you like the status of a hard drive. It can tell you the last time the machine was rebooted, things like that. And they're super helpful. So yeah, I really do like Watchman Monitoring, and it's not going to be a lot of overhead on your machine either. So it's a really easy way to check up on your family.
I'll make sure there's a link to Watchman Monitoring in the show notes today.
Yay!
All right. So tips that I have for people, because we have to travel to go to see our families and friends for the holidays, it can really help if we have apps that make our life a little bit easier. And
Yes.
So if you're flying, my favorite app for keeping track of your flights is Flight Update Pro. And what I love about Flight Update Pro is that you can actually put your flights in months in advance, as opposed to a week or two. So many of the other flight trackers that I found, you have to wait until you're pretty close to your flight before you can put any data in, the flight information, and then it can populate all the data. With Flight Update mm-hmm. Pro, like when I booked my flight to CES, which is in January, yeah. I booked mm-hmm. that flight weeks ago, and then just put it into Flight Update Pro. Also, if you have TripIt, it can link to your TripIt account and auto populate all
nice.
That data.
Nice.
So it can grab your flight.
Now
info.
This is.
Go ahead.
This is good for both directions. So if you are a person who has a lot of people coming in and you need to coordinate transport, you can add everybody's flight to this and know when they show up. That's another thing that I really like about it, is particularly at Thanksgiving and at Christmas time, as people are traveling, like today, if you're getting people on a plane, if you're going to go pick people up at the airport today that are on a plane, first of all, pick them up at departures. Don't pick them up at arrivals. You'll thank me later. And second of all, mm-hmm. It's really nice to be able, the nice thing about having a tracker that does this for you is it will tell you the flight was delayed an hour, or the flight was, you know, the flight isn't here yet, or, you know, if something has happened to the flight, at least you know, and then that person doesn't have to sweat. Did they call you in time? Do you know somehow magically, like, just let them know, you know, I'm already tracking your flight on my phone. It will let me know when it actually takes off, so I know when you'll actually get here.
Yep. And this is the app that I've been using for years now to keep track of all the flight travel that I do. And like you said, Kelly, when I have people that are coming in and I want to keep track of their flights, then it goes into Flight Update Pro as well. Yep.
And this is $6.99 on the App Store, I think, is the one that you're talking about.
Yep. Totally worth that $6.99.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Yep. Another one that I like to have handy when I'm traveling is Tunnel Bear. And that's my VPN service.
Ah.
So it doesn't matter if it's Tunnel Bear. That's just the one that I really like. Have a VPN service on your iPhone and iPad. Well, and on your Mac. Because you may need to take a break from family and go hang out at a coffee shop for a little while. And now you can fire up your VPN and keep all your data safe and secure while you're surfing or just whatever it is that you need to do at the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I also like to have a way to find things that are interesting to do when I'm out traveling and seeing family, because I found oftentimes when I say, what are the cool things to go see around here? The answer is, I don't know. And it's not because they don't care. It's because they live there and they're in the middle of everything that they have to do. And they're not thinking about what are the other cool things to go and see. So I keep TripAdvisor on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And TripAdvisor has been fantastic for finding really cool things to do, things to explore and experience that I wouldn't have otherwise found out about. So it's a great thing to keep on your phone as well. I have more on my list, but I'm curious, do you guys have other apps that you like to use when you're traveling or when you're trying to support people that are traveling?
I remember we wrote a while back, maybe it was last year, about an app that covers the national parks, a maps,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And entrance fees and information. I forget who wrote that,
but I remember the article.
Ah, excellent.
So I'll see if I can find it and then include that in our list today, too.
Yeah, the national park stuff is good. I like... again, because you never know how long you're going to be in the airport. I have an app called Gate Guru that Gate I enjoy for a bunch of reasons. But the first of which is here's what there is in your concourse, whether it's food or gift shops or whatever, bars. It's really nice to have that, particularly if you're flying into an airport that you don't normally fly into or out of.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like having that one. I use TripIt for all of my trip information, like mm-hmm. overall, where am I going? Where do I get the rental car? Stuff like that. I mostly fly on Alaska Airlines, and so I have the Alaska Airlines app. One of the great things about their app is I can have my boarding pass on my watch.
Yep, which is pretty nice.
So that's pretty awesome. And the most of the airline apps are pretty good at letting you know, like, if you have a gate change or if there's been a delay, things like that. Some of them will even allow you to rebook within the app if you needed to do something like that. So I like having those. So between TripIt and the Alaska app, I have a pretty good handle on where is my plane? When is it leaving? When do I get home or when do I get where I'm going? And then, you know, at that point, I can fire up Gate Guru and figure out, like, do I need a snack or do I need a bar? You know, and then I'm pretty good. So those are the ones I like most for traveling. And then I also have Lyft, because occasionally you need an impromptu trip somewhere and you never know. So
that's
I like Lyft as well.
So sometimes it's important to get away from family, even when you're with them. And we're almost out of time, but I'm going to add in one last tip, and this is a tip that took me a while to figure out for myself, so I'll try and save you some headaches. I have found that many times when I'm with groups of family or friends in at holiday events and other get-togethers, that someone will ask me for technical advice on something. What they're really doing is complaining to me about something they don't like. And when I start to offer them help, it becomes this argument. And and so when you know your friends and family well enough that you can tell, because of the way that they present this question to you, that it's really more of a statement and an invitation to allow them to argue with you. What I now do is say, wow, that's too bad.
And shut it. Well, you write about Apple, so you're responsible for everything they do, Jeff.
And that's exactly the attitude a lot of people have. And people think that I have a direct line to Tim Cook's desk and that I am in some way responsible for everything that they don't like about Apple. and that I'm also in some position to be able to change all these things for them. So, so it's a Kobayashi Maru, but the solution is, wow, that's too bad. And it, it has shut down so many arguments and saved so many events from becoming just a big fight.
Yes.
An interesting observation. We're also expected to know what Apple's coming out with, even though Apple hasn't announced it. So a lot of questions I get are, should I buy this iPad at Christmas or should I wait? And I go, I don't know. Buy what you need.
Yeah, my answer
that's
is
what
always,
I tell people. Oh,
buy what you need when you need it.
Right.
And they say, yeah, but. I'm like,
yeah, but.
Okay. Well, and then I always try to remind people like that you need to be technologically honest. Like, this isn't the days where you had to have a new graphics card every 6 months, you know? So like, we've reached the point where I'm pretty sure if you aren't familiar enough with the technology that you're talking about or asking me about, then I'm pretty sure if you buy the current level iPad today, you're going to be good for a long time. It's certainly going to last you longer than the same $500 or $600 worth of Windows machine.
But we do have some intelligence now, Kelly. We know that the new iPads are going to come with Face ID. So that's something that might weigh into your decision in the spring.
Well, we're assuming based on the reports that have been coming out.
Yeah, we don't know. We can
Well, there was
we
a pretty good report on Bloomberg that Apple's testing Face ID on their iPads. I think Mark Grumman might have written that.
Apple's tested lots of things that we never actually saw, and they've tested things like the iPod sock. I'm just
saying. You know it's coming.
But I don't know when. So that's what I'm saying is like, for the most part, like particularly because the iPad you walk in and buy today or get a screaming deal on Black Friday is going to have Touch ID, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably good. So for the most part, that's like another thing that I find is also sometimes just sort of showing people, giving them the opportunity. So take your Apple TV with you, drop it in your bag, go get the Boinks app with the party pictures in it. We'll have a link to the actual thing in the show notes. Maybe Jeff knows the name of it while I think of it.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember.
I did the review of it, and it's really great. And you set up your Apple TV, and then people's pictures can get shared on the TV. So you can see like the pictures of Thanksgiving dinner after dinner as the screensaver on the Apple TV. And it's really great. And I love the app and it's super fantastic. And I wish I could remember the name of it. I'm totally drawing a blank right now.
Well,
I guess I should have finished my coffee before we hit record.
It'll be in the show notes. All right.
It will be. And it's delightful. And you should, and things like that sometimes are really fun and give people an opportunity to maybe ask you questions about technology that might be good for them. Like maybe someone in your family should have an Apple TV for the kind of stuff they want to do.
Could be. Yes. All right. Hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love that we started this morning and went, I don't know how we're going to get a show. We don't really have anything to talk about.
and as it turns out, yes, we do. We always have something to talk about. We just haven't realized what it is yet.
Right.
John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. And happy Thanksgiving, Kelly and Jeff.
Well, thank
happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and take advantage of that special offer, the triple bundle. So you get the video, audio, and image stock services that they have, all three for just $149 for a year. But the deal's only good November and December. So hop to it. Go get signed up right away so you don't miss out. And listeners, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. If you don't, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, we are off on Thursday and Friday, so we'll see you again on Monday. And thank you so much for listening.